Get that line for
on the right, baby.
Not that Mackey's
back in town.
Look out, old Mackey is back.
Oh yeah.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 202, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. You know how it works. I got you for 3 hours till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We got Manny on the other side on a baseball morning. That's right, on this Wednesday morning. A couple of good games and crisis averted. As the big story coming out of the Yankee game, we'll get to the Mets in just a second. But as the Yankees take on the Baltimore Orioles, the biggest series of the year, I thought they couldn't beat good teams. We'll get to that in a second as well. But as they take on the Orioles, the biggest series of the year, battling for the American League East, crisis averted as Judge takes one off the wrist in the third inning. I was there. I went to the game last night. I sat in the press box for the first time ever. It was nice. I was too nervous to introduce myself to Joel Sherman, so I just quietly sat next to him the entire game. No idea who I am. Joel, if you're listening, yeah, that was me in the blue bola. How are you? But as I'm watching the game and
I'm stupid.
What can you do? As we're watching the game and as he leaves, when Trent Grisham walks out to take his at-bat and come out there on the on-deck circle, everyone in the building is on panic because we understand how important Judge is to this team. And thankfully, he's come out now and said that the imaging and everything came back good. No fracture. We'll see if he's back in the lineup. But it felt a little feisty in the building. I wasn't watching on TV. I've subsequently seen Verdugo have something to say. The Yankees are pissed off, and rightfully so, as Judge, a couple of pitches inside, up and in, but when Judge leaves the game, you're always with just, especially the same thing with Soto. Soto leaves the game, he's got the forearm issue. We understand where this team is, right? And the game starts with, and the day starts with Ben Rice being added to the roster. I talked about that for an hour last night, about how I thought the Yankees should bring up Ben Rice to play first base, and they won't do it. They'll play Peraza, and yet they do what the unexpected thing is, bring the kid up from AAA, a handful of at-bats in AAA. He gets added to the 40-man roster, makes his Major League debut, gets a base hit in the game. But this was a game that ultimately felt completely different after that Judge injury. The tenor of the game, the tenor of the building, watching Nestor Cortez pitch a great game, shutting down the Baltimore Orioles and having a great performance like he's done at home and like the starting pitching has done all year long. And that's why you have faith in this team. That's why this team is where it is in first place, because it's not just Judge and Soto, as much as many people will tell you. Sure, you can't live without Judge. And the idea he's out of this game in the third inning is terrifying. And as we waited and finally got the good news, you understand how important he is to the team. You know how important Juan Soto is. And sure, the bottom of the lineup isn't terrific. It's not all-stars throughout the entire roster. But this starting pitching, including Nestor Cortez, was going to get lost in this game. And this is an enormous game for the New York Yankees. An enormous game. Right? This is the division. This is the division battle against a Baltimore upstart Orioles team who won 100 games last year, who, because of what the Red Sox did the other night, are going to run all over the Yankees, who the young athletic Orioles are just better. And the Yankees don't beat good teams, and that's the narrative heading into this game. And without Judge, they get enough offense, without the addition of a home run, by the way. They play good defense. They make good plays. Gleyber Torres made a couple of very nice plays in this game. Volpe makes a couple of very nice plays in this game. But ultimately, it just feels like this is going to be a battle all year long. You know how good the Orioles are. And to come out on the first game, lose Judge, get a little bit of feistiness back like 1998. I was waiting for Graham Lloyd and Darryl Strawberry to come out there and throw haymakers. And I don't think anything's going to happen tomorrow. I don't expect anything in this series. Ultimately, to be totally honest with you, it's not like Judge hit a home run and then took one in the back. They're trying to pitch inside to Judge. They're trying to pitch inside to Gleyber Torres. They're trying to get the Yankees out, and they came two inside. Now, I get it. Whenever he leaves the game because of injury, and he's pissed off and the Yankees are pissed off, you want to throw inside, make sure you don't hit us, let alone in the hand, where we just saw the great Mookie Betts have to, you know, go on the four-month IL because of, four-week IL or two-month IL, excuse me, because of a broken bone in his wrist. I mean, this is the season you lose Aaron Judge. Let's be honest. They will not be the same team. There will be a struggle to continue winning baseball games. You understand that, but the starting pitching is so good. And Nestor Cortez is going to get lost in this game. But tomorrow, the last thing Gerrit Cole wants to do is he will now make his season debut in this series and try and win the series and try and take at least two out of three tomorrow against Baltimore. The last thing he's going to do is going to throw at a hitter and get ejected from this game, because that's how baseball is nowadays. Baseball isn't the old days where you could get back at the Orioles later in the series and put one in someone's back. There are no warnings. The pitcher will just get thrown out because it will be assumed it was on purpose, and that's the end of it. And Gerrit Cole is not going to get thrown out of his first game of the year. He's not going to take the risk of getting thrown out the first game of the year. But ultimately, for the first game of this series, to set a tone, to come out there and throw an excellent game from Nestor Cortez, completely shut down this lineup, to the only runs they score, the two in the ninth inning. And we'll get to Clay Holmes as we get through the show, 888-808-1019, and the home run he gives up. But ultimately, to shut down this team, to come out, score early, add a couple of insurance runs, and then watch this team pitch to this Baltimore Orioles team, shut them down, win game one, make a statement in game one. And hopefully Judge can come back, play more in this series. But that's a statement game. It gets lost because of the Judge injury. Nestor Cortez's performance is going to get lost because of the Judge injury. And we're going to talk about Ben Wright. We're going to talk about all the different things about what's going on. And we're going to get to the Mets in a second, who had their seventh win in a row. But as we worry about Judge and as we talk about the lineup and who's going to play first and LeMahieu moving over to first base late in the game, is Oswaldo Cabrera going to play? What are they going to do at third base and first base come the trade deadline? They're going to add the ace of the staff. And we found out earlier today that Cody Petit is going to the IL along with Ian Hamilton, who's going to impact this team. But I told you I was surprised that they are going to start Gerrit Cole in this game. I was surprised they were going to thrust Gerrit Cole into this divisional series, a big impact series, to throw him right in there when he probably could have had one more start in the minor leagues, get ramped up to 100 pitches. I was surprised the way they handled it. Now we know why. Cody Petit went down. They don't have an option. They're not going to bring up another guy. They have Cole waiting. So Cole will make the start tomorrow in what's going to be a high, intense second game of an important series that the Yankees have now put themselves in a little bit of a 2.5-game lead now. They've eliminated the idea of being down at the end of this series. No matter what happens in these next two games, they will leave this series at least a half a game up in the standings. But what you saw last night is this Yankee team do what it's been doing all year. Pitch really well, score enough runs, have, you know, Soto on base all game long, doing getting walk after walk, but the length of the lineup, the ability to manufacture runs, whether it's a couple of sacrifice flies in this game, you know, hitting and moving the runner over. Like they did it without the addition of a home run yesterday in this game. They still managed to score enough runs, pitch, and shut down this Baltimore team and ultimately take the first game of this series. And as long as Judge is okay, you come away from this thinking, okay, the Yankees outplayed the Orioles in every way. The middle of their order did nothing. Nestor Cortez, who's probably the weakest link in this rotation, threw six shutout innings in this game. And you got your ace coming back tomorrow to try and solidify this team, this series, and make a statement early on in the year to not only the Baltimore Orioles, but to the rest of baseball that, yes, the Yankees can beat good teams. And yes, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. And yes, even without Judge, even without Soto, if it comes down to it, this Yankee team can still win games because they can outpitch you as well as score a ton of runs. And then we get to the Mets. And seven in a row. Seven's the magic number. Seven little chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old child's tale from the sea? As the Mets never lose. And what an incredible performance from this team down 6-2 against the defending champ Texas Rangers. And you get a terrible performance, let's just say. He's been great this year. But Luis Severino doesn't give you much in this game. You fall behind 6-2, and then away they go at chipping away. And what I like most about this game, a lot of things you obviously like about this game, Nimmo with another home run, and he continues to be hot. But what I like about this game is good teams do something in specific, and that is when you give them an inch, when you crack open the door, they will kick it in. And when Seager threw that ball away on what should have been an easy double play to end that inning, you got David Robertson comes in, he throws one pitch, he gets as easy a double play as you can have, bounced right to Corey Seager at the bag, he casually and nonchalantly throws it to first and bounces it, they get the run, and that's all they get there. They don't make them pay any further in that inning, but that just opened the door enough. It gave them that extra run to bring them within two, and from that moment on, the Mets' offense continued to pile on, and what can you say about Francisco Alvarez? I mean, this guy, from the minute he's come up, even through slumps, even through downtimes of these couple of years he's been here, he has a knack for coming through in the big spot. And I know right now the record, everyone's hung up on it, and rightfully so. The team's completely different with him in the lineup. The record is, what is he, 17-1 with the Mets? 17-1 now, some ungodly number with him behind the dish. He's been incredible, but he comes through with the big hit. Pete Alonso comes through with the big hit. But this Met team, you can feel it. The difference of being down 6-2 today feels so much different than being down 6-2 a mere 2 weeks ago felt. It is night and day. Then you get Diaz, who's been thrusted right back into the closer role, gets a big double play in this game. Iglesias does a great job to stay in there and get the double play. And if he can start to round into form, and this offense that's, you know, just relentless. You got Vientos with the home run. You've got Nimmo being on fire. Alonso waking up. J.D. Martinez being, you know, that catalyst really over the last 2 weeks in the middle of the lineup. And then Francisco Alvarez, who just only makes the lineup deeper. And you just get the feeling he's going to come through in spots like that against David Robertson and hit one in the gap and tie the game at six. I mean, just the ability to come back. Now, their bullpen's been terrible. The Rangers have not had a great year. But ultimately, for this team to be able to come back the way it did, fight back, and what I love about it is that moment where when they give you it, you got to kick the door down. And to give them that bonus run and be that careless with a double play, you had to make the Rangers pay for it. And it got them, it wasn't that inning, but it got them later in the game. And I love that's always a good aspect about teams. Now, the Mets have done a couple of things in this winning streak that offensively speak to me. One, getting out early. Not in this game, but over the course of the 7-game winning streak. They get out to early scores against good starting pitching. As I said, John Gray the other day, Dylan Cease the day before that. They get out to early leads, which is always important. They never allow a crooked number by the other team to sit long. Even in the other game the other night, they score two runs, boom, they get the two runs back. They score four in the eighth, boom, the Mets come right back with four runs. They always respond immediately, and now when you make a mistake, the Mets make you pay. Those are three elements of good baseball teams. Those are three elements of good offensive baseball teams. Get out early. Don't let deficits, you know, sit long, respond right away, and then when the other team makes a mistake, kick the door in. And all three have been front and center of this 7-game winning streak. And right now they are playing, and you've seen it already. We've talked about the muddled up, jumbled up National League wild card, and they've already jumped at how many teams they were behind. And I'll be the first one to admit, I've been telling you, well, look, if they're here with, you know, okay, even though it's a game and a half out, they're only, you know, there's five teams ahead of them, and, you know, they're going to have to do a hell of a lot more than that if they're going to want this team and this, you know, Stearns to reinvest in the team and add. I just don't see it. Well, in one night, they have jumped, you know, half the teams in front of them, and they're tied right there. I mean, they are right there in this wild card. I mean, this National League, you're two games under 500, and you are right there for this wild card. And the way they're playing, seven wins in a row, the confidence they're building, the confidence they're exuding, the difference that Alvarez has made, the difference now that J.D. Martinez makes, the difference of Lindor at the top of the lineup and what he's been doing since he's moved there. And now if you're going to get Pete coming through with big home runs, coming through with big base hits down the line to give you the lead in the ninth, like if you're going to get your stars going and you're going to get Alvarez to make this kind of impact, plus, of course, how important Diaz is, which I think is the biggest difference of this team in the past 2 years and obviously the team 2 years ago that won 101 games, it's not only just having a good closer, and it's not just having Diaz on the field, but it's that element of the game is over. That they have a force at the back end of the bullpen. Us Yankee fans, we were able to see that for years. It was intimidating. You knew all you had to do was get to a game in the eighth inning tied or with the lead, and you were going to find a way to win it because you had Mariano Rivera. And that was so much the important element of what that team had 2 years ago when they won 101 games is that, hey, all we have to do is be close, tied, have a one-run lead in the seventh or eighth inning, and we have the most dynamic weapon in all of baseball at the back end of our games. And he's not there yet, and I don't know if he'll ever get there again, but right now his presence and what he's been able to do since coming back from injury is going to steady this team and steady that bullpen to go along with how great the lineup has been, to go along with the most part. I know Severino wasn't very good last night, but he's been overall pretty good. And how, you know, good this rotation has been. Still waiting on Kodai Senga to come back. And hopefully that sounds like it could be sooner rather than later. And this team is now rounding into shape just in time as it's going to be decision-making time for this owner, for this new GM, to determine how good this Met team is. Do they want to help them? Do they want to not trade off pieces? Do they want to bolster this team heading into the playoff stretch? Because right now they're playing like as good as any team in the National League. And they're the hottest team in baseball. And they're responding. And they're jumping out on teams. They're coming back from deficits. They're doing everything. And I'm not going to mention Grimace. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. But I don't care about Grimace. Not doing it. So we had a great baseball night, and it would have been a perfect baseball night. We had the Yankees win the first game of the series. We got a little excitement between the two teams after Judge got hurt, and thankfully we found out good news about that. Clay Holmes gives up a couple of runs, but ultimately, very nice night for the New York Yankees. Take the first game of a three-game set against their division rival and real main nemesis of this season, the Baltimore Orioles. We got the seventh consecutive win from the Mets. Come from behind fashion against the Texas Rangers and rally back from being down 6-2 to win 7-6. And it was almost a perfect baseball night if it wasn't that baseball lost one of its giants in Willie Mays, who passed away at the age of 93 last night. And obviously, obviously I never got a chance to see him play. But, I mean, Willie Mays is genuinely considered one of, if not the greatest baseball player of all time. Was able to do everything on the field. I mean, a legend in this game. 660 home runs. The Mets obviously have a connection. He's retired the number last year. Thankfully, they were able to do that last year and have him there for that moment and fulfilling a promise made all those years ago to retire his number as a New York Met. And for you Met fans who were around in the early 70s, got to see the tail end of his career with the Mets. But ultimately, I mean, he harkens back to one of the great eras especially in all of baseball, but especially New York baseball. Those 1950s when you had Willie, Mickey, and the Duke patrolling center field all in New York, the mecca of baseball with the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Yankees all in this city, the World Series constantly being played in New York, and to have all those teams and have all those great players and Mickey Mantle and Duke, and obviously Willie shined as bright as any of them. And so it's a sad day for the baseball world as we say goodbye to Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. So if you want to talk about that, we obviously can, but we're going to open it up to your Met calls. We're going to open it up to your Yankee calls, as it was a good baseball night for the two locals. The Yankees can beat good teams. The Yankees take care of business against the Orioles. Judge is okay, and it feels like there's going to be not just a on-the-field, in-the-standings rivalry, but it's starting to feel like this Yankee-Orioles thing is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to get back to what us, you know, baseball fans, and if we want to harken back to the days of Willie Mays, a little bit of dislike between the teams, because I know the fans, I know how we all feel, like there's too much of camaraderie, right? There's too much of, hey, you know, we were just in the boardroom arguing against the owners 2 years ago. We're all friends. We're all trying to make money together. We're all part of this community of Major League Baseball players or NBA basketball players or NFL football players. And they're all, you know, at the end of the games getting together and on the field after the games and whatever the, like, there's not enough of that vitriol between two teams. And I'm not trying to manifest it, because we saw on the field last night, whether it was, you know, Verdugo saying things, Judge, as we were sitting there in the press box, when Judge gets hit, he starts walking around the mound. Like, he got real, you very rarely see it. Normally they fade off to the dugout. He gets hit and starts spinning and walking, and he's right at the pitching mound. I was wondering if we were about to see something. He looked pissed. He got close to the pitching mound. Obviously then later in the game, Gleyber Torres gets hit. And especially for this veteran group, the New York Yankees, all the money spent, years pounding the Orioles, and for the Orioles to be this young upstart team, all this young talent, all these young prospects coming up, winning the division last year, and trying to prove that the Yankees, although they're the story of baseball this year with Juan Soto, that they won the division last year, and to have a little animosity between the two teams and a little bit of feistiness can be a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun. Now, it's not fun when Judge leaves the game for Trent Grisham. That's not fun. But hopefully he'll be back in the lineup either tomorrow or later in the game, later in the series. You got Cole making a start tomorrow. Ben Rice comes up. A lot of excitement, a lot of things to talk about. Taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Your baseball calls next. McMonagle here with you in the overnights on The Fan. All right, 229, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Taking your baseball calls out the chute. As the Mets win 7 in a row. Can't be stopped, because I'm at the game. I'm at the Yankee game. I'm in the press box. I'm watching the Met game on my phone. And it's, you know, Severino, they jump out to the early lead. The Mets with the home run. Severino gives up a couple of runs, gives up the three-run bomb. Then he gives up the solo home run. Not going to be the Mets night. Right? Not going to be the Mets night. And instead, I mean, this team has a completely different feel to it. And for them to just battle back the way they did, and then to watch Alvarez, who I got a caller yesterday, talk about the impact of Alvarez. And I actually find it interesting, because now he's hot. Like, now, you know, big hit, had three hits the other night. He's starting to really emerge. And you could look at the different elements of Alvarez and the way the run game hasn't been impacted. He's better with the run game than the other catchers. The RA is completely different. The Mets have pitched much better with Alvarez behind the plate. I think some of it is just, you know, some of that is a bit fluky, where you're just getting guys who, they were pitching better at the beginning of the year. The bullpen was just pitching better at the beginning of the year. They were healthier. They were pitching better at the beginning of the year. Then they went through a lull, and now he's been back, and they found a way. But still, I mean, clearly the best defensive catcher. I mean, do you remember when the question was he wasn't a good enough defensive catcher? The concern was they always knew he could hit, but can he be a defensive catcher in this league? I mean, amazingly enough, he's been fantastic. And he's been great defensively and made enormous strides there. But offensively, you know, he hasn't really been, you know, crazy good. He started out the season great, and then right, he was kind of slumping really for the last 2 weeks before he got hurt, and then he came back somewhat slow. Now he's hot again, but he's got the flair for the dramatic. There's something about this kid. Like, there's just something about him. You could just get the feeling he's going to be a great player. And right now, whether it's the Pride logo that, you know, people are talking about in the month of June on their Twitter account, or whether it's Grimace, or whether it's Alvarez is back, whatever the case may be, whether it's the meeting, whether it's J.D. Martinez getting hot, whether it's moving Lindor to the top of the lineup, whatever reason you want to put on the Mets, and that's what bothers me as a Met fan, I got to be honest. And someone just tweeted at me, I turned off my radio last night because McMonagle was yelling about Grimace. I turned it back on tonight, he's yelling about Grimace. I said one line. People are crazy. I'm on for 3 hours. You're turning off in 2 minutes. I'm the storyline is I'm screaming about Grimace. But what bothers me about Grimace is I said the same thing. I heard Sal say it today. It takes away credit from the guys on the field. Nobody actually believes it's because of Grimace. We know that. But when we talk about it, when it's the first question asked to the players, like, why do we have to talk about it? Like, it's silly. All right, it was fun for a day or two. Now it's a 7-game winning streak. It has nothing to do with Grimace. It's about this Met team and what they've done here. And that's why I don't like any of the other ancillary stuff and all the nonsense and trying to find a fun thing to put behind it. Are you not having fun just watching this team play? How much fun do you need? How much fun do you need? Because I would think coming from behind 6-2 to win your 7th game is pretty damn fun. And I don't need to attach a purple monster to it to feel like we're having a good time. I mean, you look like the rest of the wild card teams are standing still as you run past them. The middle of the order is completely rejuvenated. This team feels completely different. And we're focusing on the wrong stuff, man. That's all. We're focusing on the wrong stuff. We should be focused on Nimmo's impact. We should be focused on J.D. Martinez's impact. We should be talking about Alvarez. Not asking the first question after a big win. Hey, you know, you haven't lost since Grimace. Haven't lost since Grimace. Drives me nuts. People, if I were telling you right now, if it happened to be the Yankee. Now, they had a storyline similar to this with the turtle. They had like a pet turtle.
Bronxy.
That was his name. Bronxy. Nestor Cortez found a turtle somewhere or bought a turtle somewhere. I forget the storyline, whatever. They found him in the sewer playing with ooze. I don't remember exactly what the storyline was, but they got some sort of turtle. And I remember thinking it was cute or whatever. But then, you know, they didn't put it. It wasn't like, oh, you know, the Yankees have been great since Bronxy. Like, it's just dumb. But that doesn't change the fact that right now they're the hottest team in baseball. They have completely changed not only just their season, how we feel about them. What it's like watching them. And they are moving past everybody else in the wild card. As it just seems like everyone else is standing still. And they've jumped. I mean, they went from being 2 days ago. I remember doing the show. 2 days ago. Let's look at it for sure. 2 days ago, I did the show. And they were only ahead of the Rockies and the Marlins. That was it. It was the Rockies, the Marlins, and the Mets. Now, they were 2 games out or a game and a half out, but that was it. Everybody else was in front of them. Now, they are tied for a half a game out. So they're a half a game behind the Diamondbacks for the last wild card, tied with the Giants and the Nationals.
So kiss my ass.
Is that Sal? Yeah, kiss my ass. They have jumped the Padres. They have jumped the Reds. They have jumped the Pirates. They have jumped the Cubs. They have jumped... Oh, there it is. Yeah. So the Cubs, the Pirates, the Reds, the Padres, and tied for the Nationals and Giants. So they have tied 2 and jumped 4 in 2 days. Now, having said that, they're a half a game better than the Padres. The Reds. I mean, it is a crazy National League when you look at it. Everyone is within a half a game of each other except for the Rockies and Marlins. But right now, they're by far the hottest team in the National League. They've won 7 in a row, 8 of the last 10. They're 35-37, and they feel completely different. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Kevin in Saratoga Springs. What's up, Kev?
Hi, Chris. I have a Willie Mays memory.
Sure.
So it's 1973, Game 5 of the Mets-Reds playoffs, the deciding game. And Mets are, I think it's tied. And Cincinnati calls in a reliever. Now, Willie had been on the disabled list. He hadn't played in most of the second half of the season.
Right.
So anyway, I'm there in the right field stands, and the relief pitcher is warming up, and all of a sudden there's a spontaneous roar, like the crowd, like something happened. And I'm thinking, what happened? The reliever is warming up. I couldn't see. Everybody was standing up. And all that happened was Willie had walked out of the dugout to pinch hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the fans it just shows how much the New York fans love them. They just
oh sure
spontaneous, not even a gradual, but like a spontaneous was, and he did pinch hit. He got a Baltimore chop that actually knocked in the winning run. But then he went out to center field, and it was the ninth inning that he went out to center field, and we're all just hoping, please, somebody hit a pop fly so he can do the basket catch. And sure enough, there was a fly to like right center, and you could see Rusty back off, Rusty Starr back off a little bit, and Willie did the basket catch, and everybody went berserk.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's how much the fans loved him, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, how much the fans loved him, no doubt. I mean, he was at that time already at the age, you know, at the end of his career, but it was a Hall of Fame, incredible career, and just to get a glimpse of seeing him, it's not like today. Like, we forget. It's easy for guys like me, 40 years old. I mean, most of my life, although I do remember, I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees were on MSG. But I do remember, I mean, my whole life, every Yankee game I've ever wanted to watch has been televised. I mean, nowadays, I have the MLB package. I watch every single baseball game I could possibly desire to watch. We see all these stars. The world is smaller. You can be the biggest name in football from Kansas City. You could be the biggest name in football in Indianapolis. You can be the biggest player in the NBA from Cleveland. You can be, you know, it's a completely different world. But back then, to get a glimpse of Willie Mays, you waited around for the All-Star game. That's why the All-Star game was so important. I mean, you waited to see these guys from the National League or the American League, depending on what team you were a fan of. And then to watch, obviously, as they leave, him and the Giants and the Dodgers go out to California, and it takes Willie Mays with them. It takes Sandy Koufax. It takes, you know, all these great players. I can only imagine. It must have been devastating. So to get him back in the fold and to see him even at the tail end of his career. I mean, when I think of Willie Mays, I think of my father and his love for Mickey Mantle and how he would say Mickey Mantle was better. I mean, I don't know if that's the conversation for today as we celebrate his life and his impact on baseball and how he's one of the greatest, you know, players of all time, if not the greatest player of all time.
Man, they were having GOAT debates back then?
Oh, sure. Are you kidding me? Willie, Mickey, and the Duke? Of course. Of course. Everyone, you know, their guy was the best. You know, Mickey, my father would always, Mickey didn't have his career. Couldn't argue Mickey didn't have his career. Mickey couldn't stay healthy. Mickey didn't play all those years. Willie was better for longer. But at the prime of the, you'd give me 1956 Mantle over any point in Willie's career. Like, that's, you know how many times I heard that? But that's what I think of the great era of baseball, especially in this city, with those three teams, all of them as good or better than every other team in Major League Baseball, you know, from Giants win the pennant to, I mean, the 73 World Series. So, I mean, just he's connected to New York. He's one of the great players of all time, if not the best, certainly one of the greatest five-tool players. I mean, his ability to run, his ability to play the outfield, I mean, his catch on Vic Wirth was, you know, the over-the-shoulder basket catch. It's called the Mays catch anytime someone tries to make it now. I mean, it's just, he has an indelible imprint on the entire sport. And back then, that was it. You know, football wasn't what it is today. Baseball was king. Baseball is absolutely king. And to have, you know, those three teams, those three players all playing in center field for our teams in New York City, that must have been one hell of a time to be a baseball fan in New York. And unfortunately, it's getting to the point where it's so long ago that there aren't many who remember. There aren't that many who are around for it. But it must have been an incredible time. And obviously, to say goodbye to Willie Mays, who's the oldest living member of the Hall of Fame. Thankfully, the Mets honored him last year. We'd see him at all these different events, and we're going to miss him. And he wasn't just, you know, for me, I never saw him play. So I don't have the same connection many of you might have, or, you know, certainly people who did see him might have. I thought of him when I would see him as sort of a, you'd see him and you'd hearken back to the old days. You know, he was someone who represented for me that time period of New York baseball, which must have been so fascinating and so awesome to be a part of. I mean, we joke now, like the kids, oh, I'm a Met fan, I'm a Yankee fan. Back then, it meant something. back then, to be a Giant fan or a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan, all three teams were always so good. Must have been different. Robert in Brooklyn. What's up, Robert?
Okay. I want to talk. I want to honor Willie Mays. Okay. I saw him play twice. Once as a Giant. Okay. It was advertised Juan Marichal against Tom Seaver. And then, unfortunately, when Miss Payton brought him back as a Met. Okay. But he used to talk about Willie and Mickey. He talked about that Mickey was good until he hit that drain. But when I saw Willie Mays play, I saw the best ball player in America. And it's good that they still honor him, you know? But there's one person I wish that would honor Willie Mays, and that's his godson. I wish he would come clean. But I guess he won't.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to mention the fact that Willie was good. I mean, he was humble, but he didn't mind talking about himself.
Sure.
And you know what's funny, too? When it wasn't making no money, he lived in the neighborhood and you saw him all the time. You know what I'm saying?
There was famous stories, and thank you, famous stories of him playing stickball with the kids. It actually led to a great moment here on The Fan, Joey Waller, with Tony Page. Somewhere we have the audio. I'm sure Manny doesn't know where it is, nor do I. But there was a great moment where Tony Page was talking about Willie Mays for whatever reason on this overnight show. And they were talking about how he played stickball, and Joey was on updates. And Joey was, I guess, half paying attention or getting ready for his update, didn't hear the whole conversation. They're talking about Willie Mays playing stickball, and Joey just adds in with, you know who else played stickball? Willie Mays. It's like, yeah, that's what we're talking about, Joe. But yeah, no, Willie Mays, you know, hung around with the kids, notorious for doing that. I was just watching some clips as they're, you know, SNY was putting out a thing, MLB put out a thing, obviously other teams throughout baseball recognizing. I think that at the Yankee game last night, they played the Willie, Mickey, and the Duke song in between innings. But yeah, famously, he would, you know, buy the kids ice cream, play stickball. He was a fixture in the city, especially early on in his career, and then later on in his career with the Mets. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So, you know, like I told you, I was at the game, so I didn't see the television broadcast, and I'm just, like, I was watching, and I've seen all the stuff, and Verdugo, I don't know how serious he is, but, like, the vibe between these two teams now is fun, a little bit, and Verdugo has been a great addition to this team. He really has. He's been a great addition to this team, no matter how you look at it, whether it's him getting moved to the cleanup spot, which has changed the lineup in so many ways, or his ability to play left field. I mean, God, left field was a barren wasteland last year. And the difference between how he's played defense out there, which right now, if you look at the defensive metrics and the runs saved, which I think defensive metrics can be a bit flawed, but watching him on a day-in, day-out, game-in, game-out basis, this is one of, if not the best, defensive left fielders in the game. They haven't had this kind of left field play since Brett Gardner. It's been an absolute barren wasteland, and last year was atrocious. Atrocious. So that's the biggest thing. When people try and compare this to the 2020 team, when the haters come out and want to tell you, oh, they had a great record in 22, too. Yeah, blah, blah. Team's going to fold like it always does. The difference is left field was Hicks and Gallo and whoever else. And then last year was, you know, Jake Bowers and IKF and Franchy Cordero. And now they have Verdugo. But Verdugo, to challenge whoever he's talking to in this clip, where he literally is telling someone, me and you, and when I'm done with you, I'm going to go beat his ass. Now he says it and then chuckles. I don't know how serious he is. I don't know the vibe, but ultimately, you just get the sense this team does have a little bit of an edge to it. From the beginning of the season, they've treated this year completely differently. They've come out with a much more intense style of baseball. I mean, there's just no doubt about it, whether it's the Soto effect, where he attacks every single pitch as its own personal battle, or whether it's Judge in the offseason complaining about the lack of urgency, whether it's the manager making decisions to play everybody every day, whatever the case may be, this team has had an edge and an intensity to it that it hasn't had before. And I think it's helped them immensely. And I love the idea that Verdugo, who's here for 1 year, you know, when answering questions about Boston and going back to Boston, how do you expect to be treated like a Yankee? What a tremendous answer that was. How do you expect to be treated in Fenway? Like a Yankee. Because he is a Yankee. Because he is a Yankee. And then to go out there and defend his teammates and look, you know, to challenge people after getting hit, after watching Judge leave the game, is tremendous. But let me say this also about what we expect as far as fireworks. And I touched on it in the open. I wanted to do just like an overall, you know, surface kind of thing on the open. But let's get into it for a second about the idea of what should happen tomorrow and what should happen. And much as I talked about it, I love the idea of a little bit of ill will, a little bit of, you know, bad juju, a little bit of dislike between two teams. I think it makes for more fun. I mean, let's be honest, Yankee fans, if you go back with me, if you are, you know, around 40 years old or however, you know, if you can go back to the 2003-2004 matchup with those Red Sox, I know Manny can't. Sorry, Manny. Actually, no. Good for you. Sorry for me. But if you go back to the 2003-2004 Yankees-Red Sox, those series, watching Pedro Martinez throw Don Zimmer to the ground, Varitek and Alex Rodriguez, and how much we hated Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz.
Garcia against Pedro.
Right, Kareem Garcia, Roger Pedro, Clemens. Same game. Oh, Roger Clemens against Manny. The idiots, the self-proclaimed idiots, the Cowboys, whatever they called themselves, with Millar and Damon before he became a Yankee. And just, you know, Bill Miller, like the whole, just all of them. Hated them all. Hated them all. Papelbon. Dustin Pedroia. Then later on, Dustin Pedroia. Kevin Youkilis. Like, you
that
hated
David Ortiz guy.
Yeah, I know. But those two teams didn't like each other.
The worst.
Those two teams didn't like each other. There was a bitterness there. And then obviously going back to the 70s and, you know, obviously the catchers didn't like each other. Like, there's just been, you know, not enough of that. Right? And you go back to the 98 team getting, you know, hit in the back, Tino Martinez getting drilled in the back and starting that brawl on the field, which is one of the more famous brawls in Yankee history where, you know, Graham Lloyd in particular, but Graham Lloyd and Dow Strawberry are throwing haymakers at the Baltimore Orioles. But I will tell you this, as much as I like that, as much as I'm having fun thinking about it, and as much as maybe in the moment last night I would have loved to have seen a big brawl as I was there in the beautiful ballpark in the Bronx, I don't want them to hit anyone tomorrow. And I don't understand the thought process because I see, you know, a lot of it. I'm getting inundated with tweets like my man Al, who hits me up a lot during the show. They better hit one of theirs tomorrow. No excuse. If they don't, that screams soft. Come on now. When Alonso was getting hit, everyone was screaming for the Mets pitchers to do something. Cole got to drill somebody. No. I completely disagree. Do you want Cole getting thrown out of this game? Like, honestly, does anybody want Cole to be thrown out of this game? Because that's what might happen. Or he gets, you know, a warning and can't pitch inside. I don't want Cole coming off his first start off of an injury to be focused on anything else but making his pitches, making sure he feels good, getting built up, and ultimately getting out the Orioles. Do you know how you beat the Orioles? You beat them on the field. You beat them in the standings. Now, if this, and let's be fair, I'm sorry, I don't want to be the Yankee guy who's going to, you know, poo-poo this on some level. He didn't get drilled in the back. Nobody got thrown at. Like, yeah, if he would have got hurt, it would have sucked. And it's scary. You almost rather have him drilled in the back than in the hands. But this is an inside fastball that got away a little bit. Now, if you want to throw inside, you've got to be more careful. I agree. And if this starts to become a trend, more than just two hitters getting hit in the hand, I'm open to it. But off of this one game, I don't remember any problems last year that much. I don't remember anything in the first series in Baltimore. We're going to just focus on Judge and the fact that he almost was injured, and hopefully, you know, he, you know, isn't. I'm sure they'll do more testing, but initial imagery shows no break, no fracture. Just because Judge almost got hurt, now I got to turn tomorrow into a brawl to prove we're tough? I don't see it that way. Now, Pete Alonso, as mentioned by Al in the text there, Pete Alonso got hit all the time. The Mets broke a record for most hits batsmen in Major League Baseball history that year. That's not what's going on here. This is not, it's open season on the Yankees and it needs to change. This is one fastball that got a little bit away and hit Judge in the hand. I am not turning this series or this game tomorrow into making it about retaliation or how tough the Yankees are. Go out there and win the game. That's what I want to see. I want to see the Yankees sweep this series and build a 4.5 game lead in the division. That's what I want. Beat them on the field. Beat them on the scoreboard. Beat them in the standings. This is not so egregious. If Judge hit a home run, if Soto hit a home run and then Judge got one in the ribs, now we're talking. If Judge hit a 3-run home run and the next time he was up, got one up around the shoulders, now we're talking. He took a third inning fastball off his hands. I'm sorry. I was in the building. I didn't see it on TV. I didn't hear the commentary. I understand that anytime Judge gets hit, you have to protect your guys. Much like, I always use Sidney Crosby as the example. When Sidney Crosby gets hit or touched in any way, if someone slightly glances Sidney Crosby, you got to go out there and take care of it. I get it. And if this becomes a trend with the Orioles, well, now we have, and if you remember, this was a trend with the Rays around 2019-2020. The great Brian Cashman. When Kevin Cash, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, said, we have plenty of guys who throw 99 miles an hour. That's a threat, brother. That moment in time, I was all for defending the New York Yankees. I'm sorry. This does not reach the levels of needing to throw out the Orioles. I'm not throwing at the Orioles. Why would I want Cole to be focused on anything other than getting through his first start healthy and beating the Baltimore Orioles and focused on making his pitches? I got to add that to his plate. I got to say, go out there and hit somebody. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. I want to win. I want to win. I don't want to put on a guy and then give up a 2-run home run. Who do they hit? Who should they hit? You want to hit Rutschman?
Gunner.
You want to hit Gunnar Henderson? Have him steal second base? You want to give him a double? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
What about Anthony Santander, who can't really hurt you on the base pass like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're looking to hit someone.
I mean, because I mean, it's not exactly kind of like how CeCe Sabathia threw out of Tampa Bay Ray back in the day, right?
Right.
I mean, it feels like different situations, and I'm 100% with you. He's coming back. We've been waiting for this since March.
Yeah.
For Gerrit Cole to be back in pinstripes in the Bronx throwing the ball. We've got that situation. Why risk it? You want to throw at somebody in the Orioles, do it in the series finale, in the eighth inning with whoever replaced Dennis Santana in the bullpen.
Right.
Do it like that. If you want to throw at somebody, do it on Sunday in the eighth inning at around 3:30. Don't do it now in a big game. Make sure you have the lead as well on that Sunday game.
Well,
whenever the series ends.
Bingo.
Let's win baseball games. You want to throw at him, do it at the end of the series.
It's secondary. It's the least of my issues right now. And again, Judge was not targeted. Judge was not thrown at. Judge got hit in the hand. I'm sorry. I know it's 3,000 miles away, but I mean, did we hear anything about retaliation from the Dodgers? When Mookie Betts broke his hand, did anybody say, "Oh, the Dodgers better go out there and throw some pitches. They better hit somebody." This is a division rival. We've been talking about this series for a month. We've been waiting to show the world whether or not the Yankees can beat the good teams in baseball. Can't beat the Orioles. Lost to the Dodgers. Just got your ass kicked, and the blueprint of how to beat you got exposed by the Boston Red Sox. You split a series against the division leading Seattle Mariners. Sure, you could pound on the bad teams like the Kansas City Royals, playoff team. You can pound on the bad teams like the Minnesota Twins, right there is a playoff team. Oh, sure, even Cleveland Guardians, you know, best record in the American League. One of. Division leader. But you can't beat the good teams. This is a series that's going to matter in the standings as well. And as much as I'm for a little bit of ill will, there's a time and a place. I want to win these games. I want to win the games. Now, your captain's pissed off. Your captain's hurt. Maybe something might have to happen. We'll find out how the Yankees view it internally. But I certainly don't want to put it on Cole. And for me, I'd rather win the game than throw a fastball in someone's chops. Just me. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 1 hour down. Two more to go as we get you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. We'll be back after the update. Take your calls all the way to 5 a.m.